Trade agencies and government authorities are still assessing the damage caused by the weekend tsunami in Indonesia's Sunda Strait. The giant wave killed more than 400 people on the islands of Java and Sumatra and displaced more than 16,000. Experts say it was triggered not by an underwater earthquake, but by a volcano, Anak Krakatoa. And as the cleanup continues, there are fears the volcano hasn't finished erupting. Locals are now being told to stay away from the coast. Associate Professor Heather Handley is a volcanologist at Macquarie University who studied volcanic activity across Indonesia, and she joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Heather, can you give us a bit of a history of Anak Krakatoa? We know it's the child of Krakatoa, which is the volcano at the centre of this disaster.
Yeah, so this volcano was really born after the large eruption that everybody knows about in 1883. So when Krakatoa erupted then, in this big, massive eruption, after that time, Anak Krakatoa, so the child of Krakatoa, began to grow kind of on the edge of the big hole or caldera that was formed during that big eruption. And it started to grow ever since 1883, and it broke the surface of the water in about 1927, and it's been growing ever since, and it became over about 300 metres high.
And so tell us about the events that have led up to this latest eruption, because as I understand it, it had been active in the lead up to this tsunami.
Yeah, so Anak Krakatoa has been growing since the 1920s with about 45 eruptive periods over that time. And this most recent eruptive period, so the current one, started in June this year. And so there's been frequent eruptions since June, and there's been a lot of new material being built up on the side. So over the last decades, there's been a number of eruptions and building up slowly the landform from all this new material that's deposited. And what can happen is some of that material, that new material, can become unstable. And because the new volcano, this Anak Krakatoa, was built on the edge of what was a big hole, this big caldera formed from where there was a big eruption and all the material had come out of the volcano and formed this big clap structure, it's got a potential hazard that part of that flank could collapse back into that effective hole or caldera. So it looks like that's exactly what's happened. So from satellite imagery that we can compare pictures that were taken before the tsunami and after the tsunami, it now looks apparent that the most likely trigger for this tsunami was collapse of the southwest side of the volcano, kind of back into this hole that was created during this big eruption in 1883.
Okay. And will there be an opportunity to be able to confirm that?
Yeah, so I think so. Now all the authorities there are saying this looks like the most probable cause, because you can see that part of the volcano is missing. So there will be more detailed studies. I guess they're in a state of recovery at the moment, and they'll be able to do a better survey. Part of the problem of seeing what's happened as well is that the volcano now is erupting quite vigorously. There's a lot of magma or molten rock and lava interacting with the seawater. So it's creating a lot of steam, a lot of fine ash and material, and the volcano is constantly erupting. So it's hard to see that former surface or scarp or cliff, but you can kind of indicate from the satellite images that there has been a significant loss of land on one side of the volcano. So that's most likely fallen into the water or caused underwater collapse as well, landslides, and that's what's displaced the water and formed this wall of water, the tsunami that then reached the mainland.
Is there a risk then of further landslides, of further collapses?
Yes, so I guess in any situation where you have a volcano built so close to the water, and even some on land that are very close, steep slopes and very close to the water, there's always a potential of collapse, of the instability of the side of the volcano and collapse. So the authorities there at the moment are advising everybody to just stay away from the edge of the water, just in case, because what's happening now is obviously it's still erupting and it's building out new material. You wouldn't know if it's finished, kind of like the instability is kind of settled, and or you're building all this new material now into where you formerly had a collapsed surface. So you've also got like a weakness there. So at the moment, they're just advising everybody to stay away from the edge, from the shoreline, just to make sure that if there is any further tsunami activity, then people aren't close.
I mean, the thing about this tragedy was that there was no warning. And as I understand it, it's very difficult to have a warning system for this kind of tsunami that's volcanic related. Would it have made a difference?
So it could have been, I mean, you could always say to have warning is obviously a good thing, but whether it would have actually bought you enough time to evacuate the people, that might have been quite unlikely too, because Krakatoa is so close to the areas around it on the mainland where these are populated. You know, you may have, with the warning time between, you know, the actual monitoring equipment, picking it up, translation, the warning, you might have only had a matter of minutes or tens of minutes. So you wouldn't, you know, it came within about half an hour, most likely. So there was maybe an eruption that was recorded by a photographer, actually, who photographs volcanoes, about kind of 25 minutes before there was an eruption, or there was an ash cloud 25 minutes before the tsunami reached the mainland, the first wave. So, you know, 25 minutes to actually detect, communicate and move people is not very much time. So even though the current tsunami warning system is very much related to picking up when earthquakes happen, so not these kind of volcanic related events, if you did have buoys around there or tidal gauges that could pick up that wave, you would still have, in this situation, a very limited amount of time to actually move people away.
Okay. This morning we're speaking to Heather Handley. She's a volcanologist from Macquarie University, about the Indonesian tsunami related to volcanic activity. Heather, you've been analysing research from around the globe on volcanic activity in this part of the world, and there's actually some research which points or predicted this sort of thing happening. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, so there was a study by a French group of volcanologists it was published in 2012. And what they did was they obviously recognised there was a potential hazard for partial destabilisation, so like collapse of part of the volcano at Krakatoa. And they actually modelled to try and see like what the wave heights would be if a certain amount of the land fell into the ocean, what the travel times would be. And it actually, there's a very good similarity between the model that they made and what we know so far about the wave heights and the travel times towards the mainland of the tsunami created from this collapse into this caldera, or this hole from the 1883 eruption. So they modelled like a instability on this southwest side, which is what we've actually observed from the satellite image, or looks what's happened from the satellite image. So the model had been created, and the times were known, and the wave heights were kind of estimated from this 2012 study. And I guess one thing is, I mean, even though it was a recognised hazard, it was still, you know, you still think it would be quite a rare event to actually, it's possible to happen, but it could still be a rare occurrence. And how we incorporate scientific research into practice and emergency management is obviously something we need to probably work more towards in the future. So this study had been carried out, but then it's a case of how that then is incorporated into planning for situations such as this.
So we sort of understood what could happen, but what we really need to do now is delve into expanding our understanding of how to manage it. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's a challenge, isn't it? So I mean, we can do a lot of studies and model different scenarios, but which one actually would happen, and how you kind of incorporate that risk into an emergency management plan, or how to set up a system. You know, in a place like Indonesia that has 129 active volcanoes, a number of them that could actually erupt in themselves and cause a significant hazard as well as trigger tsunamis, it's a big job for the authorities there to keep track of every single possibility that could happen at every volcano there that's active.
Absolutely. Heather Handley, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Heather is an associate professor, a volcanologist at Macquarie University.